this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills. Episode number
43.
Sees Mike's current age, and also NASCAR legend Richard Petty.
By episode 43, you were bored with me.
I'm having fun with you guys.
Good.
You know, that's all I'm concerned about.
The I'm gonna start making players up. The Bernard Wilkins episode. Bernard Wilkins used to play for the Denver Icicles.
You can't forget about Samuel Tomlinson. Instrumental.
Jamiroquai Kwai Kwai.
Jamiroquai Kwai Kwai.
The Ohio State University.
Speaking of nicknames we're going to start giving to people involved with athletics, the guy who officiated the last Wizards-Bulls game, Joey Crawford, this is going to come after, but it was game two. I'm calling him Joey Splits Guaranteed Crawford from now on. He was trying to give that a split.
Yeah, he was.
You go to a bowling alley, you give him $100, he'll roll you a split.
Oh, the old 710. That's actually Joey Crawford's jersey number is 710.
That son of a bitch, man.
So that's in reference to game two of the Wizards. I do want to say episode 42 of Chrome Bills has a very succinct, on-point Washington Wizards freestyle that I was saying we should kind of chop up as his own thing and put on YouTube. So when you see that out there on YouTube and on uboob.org, make sure you share that with friends and family. Washington Wizards
sites.
Freestyle.
You know, I think that would be kind of ill. Like when you're on a website and you see something like just like some girl with her tits hanging out. Like, what is that doing here? We should advertise Chrome Bills on porn sites because it'll really get people's attention. It'll be so out of place. We'll flip the script. You see what I mean?
I'm not touching this one.
Any recommendations for which porn sites would work good?
Ooh, interesting.
All of them.
Let's alienate the women out there.
It's porn. You think women don't watch porn?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think that they watch. I don't think they watch porn like guys watch porn.
No, nobody watches porn like guys like watch porn.
Well, there's only guys. There's only men or women, so.
Well, there's in between, but I know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
I know what you mean.
You're right.
I always assume that women are checking porn sites just to verify that video they shot 10 years ago hasn't made its way onto, like, girlfriendrevenge.org or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. She's like, I got another 12 months of freedom.
I'm good. So
yeah. Nah, wow. Whatever. I mean, I you know, I think that everybody's got their own teachable moments, you know? Which
true.
Is actually tonight's sponsor. Teachable moments.
Teachable moments.
Mm-hmm. Is your 35-year-old friend incapable of hanging blinds up by himself? Come on down to Teachable Moments.
I can help you out.
That may or may not be a joke related to you
helping me put blinds up.
Yeah, because I need it. I need a bad.
I agreed to do that, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, whenever.
That's cool, man. I'm gonna help you out.
But why do you need blinds when you have that ever so fresh sleeping mask that you wear over your eyes?
I thought he was going to be an eyebrow joke, but then I forgot that you have a sleeping mask.
Why are my eyebrows crazy?
No, they're not crazy.
But they're okay.
I'm going to give you a complex.
I was going to say, awesome for all the things that I'm already like way in my head about.
I think the beard balances it.
So thanks.
The beard balances the eyebrows.
It won't, like, I'll wake up tomorrow, like, I won't think about it until tomorrow, but as soon as I wake up, like, I'll be rubbing my eyes, like, what the fuck? Oh, shit, Steve. You're in my head now.
I'm sorry, man.
That's all good, man.
You know, I think we've all become too comfortable talking about your body hair.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's,
I mean, it's...
You have feelings, too.
Well, the other thing about it, too, is there's been people that, like, I've interacted with from a distance, like, digitally, and then we meet, and they're like, wow, you're fucking hairy. But with you guys, I'm like, you've seen it so often, like, how is it still, you know, that uppercut? That should just be, like, a little tap to the jaw when you see
it. More of a jab.
Mm-hmm.
Treat it like boxing. Stick and move.
Yeah.
Stick and move.
I should shave it off. Or I want to go somewhere where it's always 60 degrees and I can just wear hoodies all the time.
True.
You know, in the shower.
Quick change of topic here. Shout out to Quell and Maker.
Indeed.
Or Quell. I don't know whoever runs their Twitter account.
Probably someone from Galapagos 4 Records.
Whatever's clever. Their name's on it. They retweeted us, right?
Definitely, yeah. It was cool.
Thank you very much, fellas. Cool.
Who are you?
We're giving them a shout out. Mm-hmm. And actually, you were talking about a Quasar album?
Quasar and Bat Sauce.
Okay, so is Quell on the album?
No. It's not. Actually an EP.
Okay.
But, dude, I'm telling you, man, like, I had... it was one of the very few things that I had seen posted on the same sites that I go to, and I saw it repeated enough.
Yeah.
And it was by Quasar, and I was like, I'm going to check this out. It's called Stress Chasers. I think it's only, like, 6 songs. Banger.
Who's in Bat Sauce is the producer?
Bat Sauce is the producer. It's just the two of them. You know, I'm a fan of any kind of body of work that's just like, it's like a home run. Grand slam right away, and then it gets out. It's not, doesn't try to be 15 songs.
What site did you get that from?
I would see them on Facebook or Twitter, you know, and I
so
would
So those
just,
are the sites that you go on?
Yeah. Yeah. They're my exclusive sites. Sort of my own little neck of the woods.
I was happy to see them on the site that I go on. I thought you were going to hit me with some underground shit.
Please.
Facebook and Twitter.
Please.
Where is that on Spotify or Bandcamp, or where did you get it?
Bandcamp.
I got it on Spotify. Which, you know, is, I mean...
You like, feel like you're paying them from that?
Well, here's the thing, and I will say this. I also used to do this with Napster. If I heard, I remember, like, I heard Necros, I Need Drugs. I was like, I'll pay for that. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, if I liked it, then I would pay for it. This, I'll definitely pay for it. There's been some things I've heard on Spotify that I bought.
Wow, my voice just
cracked. I was going to say that. Did anyone else catch that?
Wow.
You need
wow.
some more champagne.
I'm glad we're not recording.
Let me pour you some more champagne.
I'm glad.
It's your boy, C's Malone. Welcome to Cheers.
Did someone just step on a dog's leg by accident?
Okay, so I bought an album today.
Okay.
On Bandcamp, okay?
Did it come with this bottle of champagne?
It did.
That I'm pouring?
I heard a song I liked, and I'm gonna play a little bit later. I heard a song I liked on Ego Trip Land.
Okay.
And so I bought the album, but it was a Name Your Own Price album, right?
Okay.
So I named a dollar.
Okay.
And I was like, and then there was like a place to leave comments, and I almost apologized in there, right? And I was like, what? Why the fuck am I apologizing? Like, I could have stolen this shit, but I'm giving you a dollar.
Right. It's better
so
than
I'd
nothing.
Had like this real big conflict in my head. Like, is it... Should I apologize? Should I say thank you? Should I say sorry? I'm only giving you a dollar, or just nothing?
Well, I think even the bigger question for me, because everything starts internally inside yourself, and then you project it onto things. Why are you only giving a dollar? Like, I'm not barking at you for it, but I know you're not like a cheap broke dude.
Actually, really before you answer that,
I really only want. Okay,
before you answer that, what do you think to echo Cole's point of? Cheap broke dude, because I think Steve is cheap on the internet and nowhere else. What do you think your lifetime amount of money spent on apps for your phone is?
Oh, probably. I bought the NCAA app for $3.99, and then I bought Words with Friends for $1, so $5 on apps.
Wow,
that's it. That's good, right?
I mean, yeah.
I probably bought 2 albums on iTunes. So yeah, I am cheap on the internet.
Ever?
Okay. I mean,
yeah, probably like cumulatively. I bought the Patrice O'Neal album.
Okay.
And then I bought a collection of singles that we played on Chrome Bills. Okay. But that's about it.
Well, how are you getting music?
I steal it, yeah. How everybody else gets music.
I steal it. Worldwide, we know
for that. I wouldn't say I steal it.
Stolen.
I click on links and then it magically arrives on my desktop.
Yeah. You have nothing consciously to do with that, honestly. We got to come up with a word that encapsulates the idea of being cheap on the internet. That could be like our slang term.
Yeah.
That could put us on the map.
Yo, okay.
I
do want to jump in and say, though, that in the comments section, you should have just written, I'm only throwing you a dollar, but I do a... world-renowned podcast, and I'm going to plug this song tonight. I mean, I think that...
Well, I'm actually going to tag them in here, and then they can, if they want to get pissed off.
Yeah.
The thing is that I wanted one of the... I just wanted one song, but you had to download the whole album, so I gave them $1 for the song that I wanted.
Did you consider putting that as your comment?
No.
That's a valid... But
I don't like typing all that much, man.
Okay.
He's stingy with letters and words, too.
I am kind of stingy. I don't know if I'm mentally lazy, but sometimes I just don't even feel like if somebody asks me to explain myself, sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not even going to do that. Like,
because you don't want to, because you can't.
I just don't.
Don't want to.
I don't want to.
I feel that.
You know?
See, this is the thing. And this is why a guy like you, like, I enjoy interacting with you and talking to you about what you do on a daily basis because you don't, like, waste your energy.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't react in this situation. I got to allocate my energy towards being productive in this other situation.
Sure.
Whereas I feel like me and Chuck are sort of similar. Like, it won't take much for us to just, like, completely flip out and sort of wear ourselves out for, like, the whatever moments we have coming up later on.
Like, do you remember, I used to actually write comments in comment section, like put together arguments and say like, oh, this person tried to make this point and you were wrong and this and that and this and that. And I was like, why the fuck would you ever do that? Nobody gives a fuck.
But you have, do you think that started to dissipate, that desire on your part to do that when you got married or got involved with somebody?
I think my job actually took that fire out of me.
Even more. But that's, you know? I feel like the people that do that are very unproductive overall.
Yeah, no, I'm just productive at work.
Yeah, I think you just replaced the energy to another place where instead of being on a message board about rap, you're now on a project email that has 11 people CC'd, and you have to be like, no, that's not how you do that. Per my original memo dated.
Yeah, there's a lot of emails like
and
that.
And on top of that, it's not a pissing contest on the internet. It's what feeds your family.
True. You know? True. But I'm actually envious of people who can get fired up and passionate about like some shit in the comment section, like on a North Korea article or something.
To me, it's so interesting. Like, you know, Kissing Susie Colbert, like a lot of blogs.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that write blogs, they were commenters on whatever, like, the archetype of their style of writing was. A lot of the dudes that did Kissing Susie Colbert started in the comment section of Deadspin. Like, I feel like that's something that we should try to infiltrate.
That's crazy.
The comment section of podcasts. We should try to get on other people's podcasts.
I'd like to get on Combat Jack's podcast.
Okay.
I think between Combat Jack and
Juan Epstein,
those are dope. And I just heard that fucking Ali Shaheed Muhammad has a podcast on NPR about rap music.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
But that's what I mean. We need to.
Let's get it. Combat Jack, though.
People can contact our agent.
Do you listen to any hip-hop podcasts?
Yes. I listen to Juan Epstein.
Okay.
And Tony Kornheiser.
Cold policy.
Does he ever bring up rap music on the corner?
He's mentioned Wale a couple times because the Wizards are in the playoffs.
Whale, you mean?
Whale.
How did we miss that when we were talking about Kid Cudi and Nas?
Exactly.
How did we miss someone saying, have you heard that Whale song with Lady Gaga?
That is actually a throwback to an old episode. You can catch up on all the episodes of Chrome Bills. Chuck and Steve love when I do this.
Thank you.
Go to SoundCloud. Go to iTunes. Check out Chrome Bills. Please share and repost with your friends and enemies.
Did Elroy Jetson just land in your studio over there? Oh, shit.
Taking it to the streets.
Speaking of Juan Epstein, yes. Have you guys checked the Radiolab? I know nothing about Radiolab, by the way, but it was called Straight Outta Chevy Chase.
I think Radiolab might be the number one podcast like in the world.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's fucking incredible.
Wow.
It's a science podcast.
Okay.
But really, really high production value. They do really good research to get in depth on topics and whatever. Anyways.
It's pretty much the opposite of this show.
Right. They do a lot of research. A
lot of preparation. A
lot of post and pre-production.
They have talent.
A lot of talent.
People who care.
Yep.
Passion. Business acumen. Everything we don't have.
Smarts. Charm. Money.
Good looks.
Good looks.
A future.
A trust fund.
No suicidal thoughts.
Gun.
Golf clubs.
Windshield wipers.
Chicken wire.
Wizard season tickets.
Pencil sharpener.
Wizard season tickets. Pencil sharpener.
Errors and omissions segments.
True, true.
Mm-hmm. In addition.
So I cut you off. I apologize.
Who'd you cut off? Me?
I cut you off, man. Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the Radiolab, man. I can't believe the production value into a podcast of basically having a conversation and then going back and chopping it up so that it actually has flow and putting, like, someone would reference a song, it would play in the background. I mean, That would be like a 40-hour-a-week job for Mr. Bills.
Yeah, it's neat, though. Like, so they were talking about the event with the Summer Jam with Peter Rosenberg and Nicki Minaj. Well, the whole premise of the show was what is real and what's not real, what's authentic, what's not authentic in the world of hip-hop, and how is Peter Rosenberg, like, kind of thrust into the middle of that discussion. And it was probably highlighted best in the fallout with Nicki Minaj at Summer Jam.
Right. That's a very good explanation.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. All right.
Shout out to our sponsors, Lani's Poulani.
San Francisco treat. Do we want to get into it?
I don't know. Do we want to get into this right now?
Well, here, I'll say this.
Okay.
And this is where I think a guy like Peter is interesting.
You guys know him. Let's do a little background here. Do you guys know him well?
First met him in high school. Okay. So I've known him for a long time. I wouldn't say, like, it got to a point where, like, I was seeing him at pickup basketball. Uh-huh. I wouldn't say we're homies, but I would consider him a friend.
Sure.
But the thing about it is, the question is, you know, authenticity, what's real, what's not. Just from, like, a aesthetic standpoint, Peter doesn't look like the person that you would take seriously. But he's proven for a long time that he is the person to take seriously.
Okay.
And I think that's the thing about what he was critical of, or the thing that bothers me about rap music or just hip-hop culture in general, is like, people don't earn their stripes anymore. Earning your stripe is selling records or just, you know, being outrageous and being outlandish. And, like, a long time ago, you actually had to have skill and talent, and not necessarily be ciphering and battling all the time, but you couldn't come with bullshit. You know what I mean? And I don't think that that's such a bad point to have made on his part. Like, the fact that he caught backlash about it, maybe saying it about Nicki Minaj wasn't the right thing. I don't know. I mean, I think I've heard dope shit from her. Not consistently, though. The verse on Monster was dope.
Yeah.
I thought that verse was crazy, too.
I think that was the point, though, if you go and listen to it, was that, you know, he's like, she is good, hence the reaction that there should be quality control. I mean, no one's running around complaining that the fucking MJG album wasn't, like, completely spiritually uplifting, but because you know what you're expecting, but people will be like, yo, there's some shit on It Was Written that's garbage, you know, because, right, like, you're comparing it to Illmatic. So right, you're comparing, and it's like, yo, I know what you can do, and, like, Street Dreams, come on, dude, this isn't it. And that's what I thought. Like, I had never actually heard that song that they were talking about, the Starships, and okay, it was so true when they played it on the NPR thing that it sounds like a fucking Katy Perry song. Like, it doesn't sound, I'm sorry if I'm getting lumped into the white person on the soapbox about rap, but it doesn't sound like a fucking hip-hop song. And, like, for people to turn that into a gender issue is, like, the strangest thing.
Yeah, that was strange.
Like, race and gender. I'm like, no.
And I feel like here's where this whole thing fucks me up, is because I feel like Peter loves that we're just talking about him in the middle of all this.
Yeah.
And it's not, and that song is like, it's such a non-issue whether somebody likes that song or not, but it just becomes this gossipy shit about talking about Peter.
Well, that's the question. That's the question it comes down to. Are you posing this question just to get your name out there, or do you have a legitimate grievance with what's going on? You could ask Peter the same thing. You could ask the same thing of the song.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, I think the difference, right, is that as much as Peter's a radio personality on Hot 97,
yes,
you know, him and Cypher Sounds, they're not involved, or maybe they're involved, but they don't have so total control over what's played on the station. And they'll even say, they're like, in the mornings, they turn it down, like, when it goes to music. You know, so I could see where you feel like you do have to speak on it in the sense that it's standing right next to you. So if you're with the drunk dude at the bar, you're like, yo, I don't know him. He's not my friend. He just happens to be standing next to me.
So do you feel like music comes in the door for these guys and they're like, okay, you need to play this? And some stuff, they're like, yeah, no problem. I like that. I'll play that. And then other stuff, they play it begrudgingly and then wait for an opportunity to shit on it, like with that song.
I think, like, when Ebro was on Combat Jack, right, and they were talking about that there's basically a way of telling what songs, it's called, like, listener retention, right, and what songs will make people change the station and what songs will keep people, and basically it's all about what song is someone not aggravated by. So that's where you end up with like lowest common denominator, where it was like the Chris Brown and Lil Wayne and Busta Rhymes song was like, it was in rotation for a year because no one loves it, but no one's like, I got to change this.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think that more than whether or not they like it, it's a question of whether or not they care about it. Because if they don't like it, they might be like, but I care about the names on this song. Uh-huh. And then by extension, the audience cares about the names on the song. I think that's the thing that it's easy to resent somebody who's in a position where it's like, you know, I have my own opinion and my own thoughts about things, but ultimately how I feel is only going to influence maybe like a friend or two.
Sure.
Whereas with this dude, like he can, so Chuck brought up an interesting point. Like you could make the case that he broke Kendrick Lamar.
Right.
Like when Chuck said that off air, I was like, okay.
How though?
Chuck, I'll let you, do you want to take that one?
I mean, I think just by exposing the music to a bigger audience. And when I say broke, just, I mean more on the East Coast.
Yeah, but we just talked about him getting handed music and then just fucking playing it. Well, so how is he breaking anything?
But that's the question.
Well, there's like, two sides to it, right? Because there's the Monday through Friday morning show, and then Peter also does the underground show on Sunday nights.
Yeah, but nobody listens to that, right? He's always talking about how nobody listens to that show. The one that people listen to is the morning show. And according to the Nicki Minaj argument, he's just getting handed music. But he has to play some of it he likes, some of it he doesn't.
But that's the point that I'm making is that, and then say you're a DJ, like I'm staring at turntables, right?
Yeah.
You go out and buy a record, and then you're excited to play it for whoever comes over to your house.
Yes.
Peter's got a lot more people coming to his house.
He's got more excitement for Kendrick, you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is because he's got a wider audience, he's got more people coming to him to hear what he's listening to.
Yeah.
If he gets handed something like Kendrick and he cares about it, that's where he's going to make it happen.
I think it takes a machine. Dude, Kendrick had Interscope behind him.
Peter's part of that machine, I think.
Peter's part of the machine. There's no way he can take credit for breaking Kendrick.
I agree with that. I would say being a part of breaking as opposed to sole credit of breaking. Like, obviously, Dr. Dre co-signing Kendrick Lamar is bigger for his career than any other move that any station or anything did.
Thank you.
Because the last person Dr. Dre co-signed before that was essentially Eminem, and before that it was Snoop Dogg. And you're talking about like juggernauts in music. So in that regard, I do agree.
Well, that's the question too then. Now, and I'm not saying this is an attribute I give to Peter, but is he getting Ray Lewis tackles? Like when some artist is already like being upheld or when some dude was already tackled, Ray Lewis would fucking dive in and get credit for the tackle.
Okay.
Is Peter like just glomming on at the end? I don't think so. I think it's not like Kendrick Lamar wouldn't have been popular here without him.
I think Peter definitely knows good hip hop. I would never say
that.
Well,
I guess this is the point. Do you think that Peter had anything to do with Kendrick's success in this area? I think he definitely enhanced it, which you can't say that about me or you. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, you can't say that. So, percentage-wise, he's more influential on Kendrick Lamar's career than, like, 99% of the people
sure.
that we know. You know?
Sure.
It's that kind of thing where I'm like, all right, like.
Sure. I can't argue
now,
that.
Now, the question that you were asking existentially is, was he jumping onto Kendrick because that was what was hot and would get him out there or because he likes him? I've got to believe it's because he likes him.
I think I'm more hung up on the Nicki Minaj thing, where I think he loves basking in this controversial spotlight.
Well, I do want to draw a parallel between the two discussions and say that when Nicki Minaj, when he made the comment, right, he goes, "I see real hip hop in the crowd. I know a bunch of y'all are just waiting for Nicki Minaj, but we're not gonna play the bullshit Starships or whatever right now." You do realize that this was 2012, and he was introing Kendrick Lamar at the outside of the stadium stage. Did you know that was actually when that happened was the intro
that's
for
Kendrick?
That's
a hell of a connection.
That's a crazy connection.
I don't want to get 9/11 on motherfuckers, but like that's the kind of dot that when you connect it, I'm like, all right, Chuck, I see where you're going now.
Chuck set this up. Worldwide, we known for that. All right, word up.
That was fun.
Play a song?
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah. Let's get into it.
I'm going to drink some more champagne.
It's good champagne, though. Yeah, we're drinking champagne out of teacups over here, y'all.
Champagne teacups.
God. That's actually the first album coming out from Lobster Stash.
New
group on Different Styles record label.
Lobster Stash is nice. New Pharoah Monch.
Awesome. Love it. Hip hop is back.
That's brilliant right there. All right, so this is Rapid Eye Movement, Pharoah Monch featuring Black Thought, produced by Marco Polo.
Cole, you heard this before?
I have not.
Enjoy.
It's not Latin or white or black music. It's that cooked up, cooked crack music. Black thought found the rap duet. It's that lucid rapid eye. My thing tanks like a piranha tank thing. Multiple bites, figure, mega, reality, terror, giga. Grand Theft Auto, modern day Mickey and Mallory Small. But I'm sick enough to walk into an art gallery and piss on a Picasso. Crack statues, put my balls on a banks, be shit on it and throw it at you. So when the beat intensifies, I become emotionally desensitized. Like once I slapped a rapper with mace. Then I spit ass in his face after he rinsed his eyes. No, wait, I actually grew five times my size. Grabbed mace by the thigh and slapped the rapper with him. Now that's practicing sacrilegious activism. Or tactics for battling practical rappers with wisdom. Actually it's pragmatic capitalism for acts. Crack under pressure and collapse when I get him. March is medicinal, man-made medical marijuana. With a phase plasma rifle like I'm searching for Sarah Connor. And shorty's got brains, shorty not playing. From 40 blocks I'm a killer with 40 watt range. With an arrangement of bullets that I've arranged. Encrypted and script with specific individual names that shall remain anonymous. Me and the ammunition's in a relationship that's monogamous. It's like I'm married to the silencer. Until I file for divorce and release my Excaliburs. Do all with your arteries, place that for my adversaries. Push a snap back cap your capillaries. Like, it's not Latin or white or black music. It's that cooked up, cooked crack music. Black thought, barrel, rap, do rag. It's that lucid, rapid eye move. Hopefully twice as magnifying as ever hearing Chewbacca scream through a megaphone with the significance of Dr. King. Philanthropic. Cause I'm trying to see man united without reference to the soccer team. My philosophy prophecy, the opposite of Mephistopheles. I inside an isosceles, sent to earth to warn of environmental atrocities. And nobody can copy me, stop. It's not possible but probable that it's only philosophical mockery. Strange, change copper to gold, switch properties. Stay on top of the globe, flip monopolies. Aim, take stock in the soul, spit properly.
Take stock in the soul, spit properly. That extended clip on my hip sits awkwardly. I'm diabolical, follicle triggers that I cock and squeeze. Sending shots to ancient Greece, the pop Socrates. I bear arms like button downs without the sleeves. Manic, depressive, and possessive like apostrophes. My psychiatrist waved the doctor fees. When I waved the pistol and said, listen, quit watching me so I can breathe. National Association for the Advancement of Drugs for Performance Enhancement. And it's tough taking so many chances. But I've been a bad seed from the womb. They call me ovary cancer. And I got an ugly heart, although I'm totally handsome. But I take the love of your life and hold it for ransom. And my tactical camp that never stood for any national anthems was hood. I am the actual answer, and I'll prove it. Black attire, rapid fire, rapid eye movement. I'm from a species that is higher. I am not human, extraterrestrial alien, a monster killer, a contra chilling in a barrel of lobster, ex-slave, sadomasochist that gave the master my ass to kiss. A dying breed, I'm the last of this. Black is as miraculous as Jesus of Nazareth. When I vocalize, the crowd rise like Lazarus. It's the Rhodes Scholar, my coat collar, piss on Peter. Your hoes holler, he's on top of the boss. Meet a Mr. Globetrotter and my Adidas. Pure cheetah hopping out of this exotic European four-seater. Holland, Chiba Chiba like I'm Parkside. Killing is the dark side. Villain, I'm God, I'm Godzilla. Sometimes I'm Bob Dylan, but blood on these tracks for real. So God willing, you feel what I'm spilling. Yeah, I never quit, I'm still syndicating up. Me and Pharaoh Monch did it for the benefit of us. This is straight ways of behavior, I never get enough. Get the picture, my militia getting ignorant as fuck.
Yeah, it's suicide, murder, straight from the underground, through the fiber optics, Sparrow,
Black Thought,
complete the cipher, the movement outlanding. Yo, it's not Latin or white or black music, it's that cooked up, cooked and crack music, Black Thought, the barrel, rap duet, it's that lucid,
like
rapid
is,
eye
this
movement.
Album is definitely, and we can talk about it now, I feel like this album is definitely back, like on par with Internal Affairs, you know, maybe even exceeds Internal Affairs.
Okay.
But it makes you forget about the other two albums that came out.
Wipe the slate clean is what you're saying.
Not to say there weren't songs on those albums that were incredible. It's just like I felt like it wasn't that as cohesive as a project as I really wanted it to be, you know?
It happens to the best of
us.
Album is dope as fuck. I've listened to it probably 10 times all the way through in the last week since I got it. And honestly, it's a perfect example, too, of like song order.
Yeah.
It is so important in 2014. People have short attention spans. The songs I don't like are conveniently located towards the end of the album. And I was already so gassed and had texted every single one of my friends to go cop the album by about track six.
Wow. Okay. It gets the stamp of approval.
Yeah,
he does some really cool. He does some really cool vocal tricks on there. You know, like okay. He does a dude with a stutter in one of his verses.
Okay,
which was totally bugged out.
Yeah,
just like the way he gets through the words and which parts he like enunciates and you know stutters.
That's some
with.
Dope shit.
Ha ha ha.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. His verse on "Bring It On, Motherfucker." That's what the illest verse I've ever heard to this day.
That shit is too crazy.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't have a chance to listen to it. I was up in Albany. I went to the Giant Gorilla Dog Thing album release party. It was a lot of fun. It was good to see those guys. Thank you for being such good hosts.
You're hobnobbing.
Hobnobbing.
Hey, can I ask
you were networking.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I was unaware that there's a band called the Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad.
Okay.
What?
Is their name like a homage or like a sarcastic take on that, or is that a complete and total coincidence?
I think it's a coincidence and further evidence that the internet now has made it so imperative to come up with a unique name that every possible name has been taken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like what the name, I couldn't even repeat the name that you just said to me, Chuck, but I'm not surprised that that band exists.
I think he said Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad.
Skewer?
Is that what you said?
It's something like that, yeah. Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad.
I remember there was a group called Giant Panda.
Okay.
Who used to do like Tribe Called Quest cover songs.
I used to buy panda meat at Giant. Does that count?
Panda meat?
Panda meat. It's tender.
I'll have the panda how the chef recommends. Oh, mm-hmm. Medium rare? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Check this out. I do have something else I wanted to say. I picked up another show on the Sage Francis Copper Gone Tour. Check out SeizeMikes.com for info.
We have an applause button.
Which one is it?
Yeah. I actually like the yeah better.
Worldwide, we known for that. I feel like the whole, I'm starting to realize the whole reason I've been making music my entire life was so that if I got rich enough, I could have in my writer that I want teacups for my champagne.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the easiest going person.
You already made it.
That's not
you
good.
Already made it here.
We did it.
We're already successful.
This martini has never felt so unexciting. Watching
what
you guys
drinking?
Drink champagne. Martini.
Pink champagne.
I was on the walk home from work and I had to go get more alcohol because I finished a bottle of vodka last night. Long story. But
okay.
I walk in and they were doing a whiskey tasting and they had like three different kinds of whiskey and they're pouring half shots and I was like hadn't even eaten dinner
hold
yet.
Hold on. Before we get to it, Chuck, hold on. Steve, what's the over under on how many shots he took?
I was gonna say, and by they, I mean the guy in the mirror was having a whiskey tasting. Oh, you're having a tasting?
Right.
What do you have?
I'll try
two
one
fingers.
Of those, sir. However,
Justin,
whatever size you
Justin
recommend.
Justin walks in. She's like, I think Chuck was having a psychotic break the other
yeah,
night.
Yeah, it's like the scene in The Shining where Jack Nicholson's talking to himself,
right, right.
Pouring himself drinks and shit.
Right. I'm putting the... All right. How long were you actually there, Chuck?
My girl's like, is someone here? Oh, he's just having one of those whiskey tasting incidents again. It's all good. Go back to bed. No, I was there 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go 2.5 is the... You take an over under on 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Definitely 3.
Okay. Chuck, how many?
You know, I only drank everything they gave me, which was just okay. 3 half shots. So it was only
3 half shots.
So it was only 1.5.
1.5 shots.
That's not
okay.
Bad.
I'd still.
I feel like I still won on.
Like
on
after one, I'd have been like, all right, I'm good. Yeah. Chuck tripled up on that.
One of them was barrel strength, which I guess means like 160 proof. So I'll let you guys do the math on maybe that counts as 2 shots.
Dude strength. Just like you take a shot and a dude just comes and punches you in the stomach.
He hits you over the head with a barrel.
This is what it feels like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing down the show topics that we cover and I was just about to write Chuck's drinking, but I feel like that's
that really episode. Will not yeah. Differentiate. Why don't you just say Cole's issues with technology?
Right.
While you're at it.
Cole's angry and Chuck's drunk.
I need a personality.
You have a personality. You're calm.
There's a new Black Milk album out.
Okay.
Or EP out.
Tell me about it.
The fucking... I mean, I feel like this is the same shit I always say about Black Milk. the production is fucking incredible, man.
Okay.
He's so dope.
His rhyming's gotten progressively better with every album too, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, but goddamn.
So Black Milk, I need to check for that, man.
Yes. I think it's called Glitches or some shit like that.
We should have a Cole Spotify every week where you guys give me cool shit to listen to. Because you know all the cool stuff, man.
I know some cool stuff.
I'm a big Black Milk fan. I really wish he would... I think they might even exist, one album like this. But I really wish he'd do albums with another rapper or two, but also him rhyme on it. But him just not be the only MC on something. I feel like he's a guy...
Some like Mad Lib shit.
Yeah, there's certain rappers
he did,
who...
He did one with Sean Price and Guilty Simpson.
Yep, that's the one I was thinking
of. A couple
of
years.
I kind of want to get Peter Rosenberg to orchestrate an Elzai and Black Milk album.
Okay.
That was a strange
you're,
Peter.
You're a funny
Peter
you're
Rosenberg funny. Reference. But I know I would like to actually request a Elzai and Black Milk album. I think that would be dope as shit.
I think that would be great.
That would be incredible.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
We all are in agreement that Elzai.
We should make that happen. Why did we? I mean, respect due to Peter, we got to start pulling our own weight in the hip hop.
If anything has to happen in hip hop, Peter needs to approve it. So.
Okay, stamp.
I'm just kidding.
I wonder if. Well, here's the thing, though. If Peter had started out as an MC, I wonder if Chuck and I would be like, psh, that dude ain't shit. Are you mad because he's a DJ?
Wow.
You just hate on every DJ?
Maybe
you know
that
what I mean?
Is it. No.
Okay.
Because I don't ever. He's a fantastic radio personality.
Right.
I don't think there's any challenging that. Like, he's really engaging. Like, I think he's funny. I don't know what gets me about him. Maybe I'm racist. I'm just kidding.
I think it's his position. Because, like, I know, I wouldn't say Peter's, like, the homie, but he's definitely, like, a pal. Like, if I saw him out and about, I would definitely say what's up to him. I know him well enough to know that he's not that dude.
Yeah.
You know? He's a cool dude.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the position that people are mad at.
I think the I think the problem with rap in general now is everyone would rather focus on how Drake used like a lint roller at the did you see this? There was like a video of Drake using a lint roller at the Raptors game.
I am all for that. I love that.
But it was at a basketball game in the front row.
He's breaking barriers for me.
Okay.
Dude, I would love to carry a lint roller around with me like it was nothing.
Okay.
Like a Flavor Flav style necklace with a lint roller.
And you have
You are kind of a dusty dude.
And you have cats, though.
That's why.
Of course you need a lint. Just get rid of the cats.
No, man. Okay. No, I'm saying a necklace with a lint roller around it. Like, fucking right.
Yeah.
Drake's making it cool to bring a lint roller out.
Is he?
I'm all for it.
Is he?
And I don't know. Have we talked about this? Chuck, I know you like his new record. I like his new record. Have you even listened to it?
No, but I can't front. He's talented.
What's the new one that has Started From the Bottom on it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've honestly listened to the whole thing, but I'm done pretending that he's not good. I mean,
dude,
some of the singing stuff is just a little bit not like I don't. It's not that I dislike him. I don't listen to. There's nothing in my catalog that resembles that type of music. But the rap stuff, like when he does, when he sets out to make a straightforward, like I'm gonna rhyme for 16 bars type of rap song, I almost always like it.
Yeah. Plus, sonically, dude, he's dealing with some producers who know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
Like, I was watching his engineer was on a podcast called Pensado's Place, which is dedicated to the art of mixing and mastering, like, records, basically. Okay. It's two studio engineers just talking about sonics and fucking audio quality, and they had Drake's engineer on there just talking about how he's put together his projects, dude. Much respect. Like, decisions are being made for a reason, you know? It's not like they're just going out there and throwing a fucking beat out, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's dope.
Yeah. It's nice to know people are focused in on their crafts, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
The singing gets old, you know? Maybe the subject matter could be, like, a little deeper. Sometimes it comes off as a little shallow, but
yeah,
I think sonically that last record is very dope.
Well, you know, I mean, you're a DJ. He's always looking for beats. Maybe you guys could be the lint rollers.
Yo, I'm gonna hook that up.
Okay.
I've been making beats for your man right here.
Yeah. It's because you play him for him first, and then he gets to call him, and I have no claim on him.
True.
Yeah. Well, that happens most of the time.
Shit, hold up. Let me actually, I'm going to pause this because I want to go into this next track.
Yo, play me that next track.
Play me that next track.
Hey, while you cue that up, quick errors and omissions. I just want to say, I did confirm Pusha T is behind Mass Appeal's Rhythm Roulette. So, shout out. That's a very random, and like we said,
that's crazy.
Respect level goes up, and I'm wondering if there's actually going to be a release at some point with him rhyming over maybe like the best beat that comes out of the series.
Yeah, there was a contest. That's what I thought you were talking about, because he put together a contest for beat makers to send him whatever their best, their Rhythm Roulette beats, and he was going to use them. True.
True.
Puts the H, you the man.
Puss,
I feel like we've talked.
Puss the H.
What's up? We've talked about Pusher T a lot on this podcast.
Well, but I feel like there's certain things we've touched on a lot. Cole's angry. Chuck's drunk.
Yeah.
Steve has no personality.
Yeah.
Rhythm Roulette.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw on AC Alone.
Oh,
I haven't
yeah.
mentioned him in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like.
He's hitting on Slick or whatever the fuck that song was
Leaning
called.
On Slick.
Leaning on Slick. Mm-hmm.
That was a cool fucking record.
That was cool.
Did we talk about how he got thrown under the bus by the people from Mad Men? Did you guys see that article?
What? No. What?
So the theme for the TV show Mad Men is a RJD2 instrumental that's actually from the album that RJD2 did with AC Alone.
Yeah. Love and Hate.
Okay. And they were talking about the song, and he's like, yeah, you know.
I'm going to say.
Is that one or no?
Yeah, I think that's the one. And the creators of the show were like, yeah, we really gave that song a new life because people are buying the instrumental like crazy on iTunes. And frankly, the rapping on it wasn't very good to begin with.
Ha ha, that's not cool.
It's that kind of thing too. I'm like, that could easily be what he's most known for. That's and that's a tragedy.
Yo, and to, I'm not trying to knock RJD2, but that shit is it's almost a straight loop of a Temptations record.
Yeah.
Like that shit is not.
Which surprise? Well, so is the Mad Men. It's funny because I always used to have this like an idiot, the fucking like short term memory goldfish that I am. Every time I'd be watching that show, if a rock was around, I was like, hey, do you know RJD2 did this beat? By the time it got to the point, I'd said it to him like at least 25 times.
Uh-huh.
Did they take the RJD2 RD547? I'm fucking up, so I'm trying to.
RG32.
Right. God damn this champagne. I'm going to have to sleep over. I'm fucking
C3, CP3?
Did they take the beat that he made, or did they take the original loop so they didn't have to pay any royalties?
I've never seen Mad Men. That might be strange.
Are you kidding me?
That might be strange for you guys to hear, but I've never watched an episode.
God.
I've watched like one or two. My friend from high school is actually on the show.
Who?
Ben Feldman.
What is he, who does he play?
I'd have to Google it, but
he plays the guy in the black and white suit.
Yo, I have to know who this is. Yo, I watch the show every week.
Religiously?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know he has a mustache on the show.
Holy shit. If it's a guy I'm thinking of, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because that guy actually, he's such a good actor. Like, he's got such a crazy personality on the show. I could see him, like, having his own spinoff or something.
Wow.
Or parlaying that. What'd you say his name is?
Ben Feldman.
Ben Feldman.
All right, Ben Feldman.
That's crazy.
So, yo, I was on Ego Trip. Look, he's holding up the picture of Ben Feldman right here.
Yeah, that's the dude. Wow. So you know that dude.
Yeah, we went to high school together.
Hey, he's very talented.
There you go. Churchill represent.
We should get him on here.
Okay.
No bullshit.
I'm sure he'd be totally down to do it. She sends my sarcasm.
We'll give him the Chrome Bills gift bag. You get a bar of soap. A back scratcher and a toothbrush.
A teacup.
He's like, I'm eating at Nobu with Gwyneth Paltrow, but I'll swing by to your one bedroom in Fideye and do a podcast over G-Chat with some of your knucklehead friends from growing up.
If I ever meet him, I'm going to tell him he's a sellout.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about? Like, you wouldn't do the podcast.
Bastard.
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you?
All right. Music?
Please.
I was on Ego Trip Land today, and they posted this song, so I'm going to hop on that old bandwagon. This is from a rapper named Anti Lily, kind of an interesting name, and a producer named Phonics. And the song is called 14 Till, and I believe it's a, you know, kind of a loose homage like to 93 Till. Thought it was kind of a banger, so we're fucking playing it now. Enjoy.
Chrome Bills.
Yo, 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 yo.
I actually have the song that this is from.
Wake your ass up, my nigga.
Oh, yeah?
My OG used to tell me it's always somebody out there. Ain't no time to waste, you know what I'm saying? Working harder than you is. Look at all this shit in front of you, my nigga. You still waiting on that alarm or what?
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till. I don't magnify my mistakes. I just appreciate the lesson. Nothing less. I got no regrets till I got more decisions to make. More repercussions to take. Find my therapy and percussion on production. Man, I lay my burdens down by the riverside. One day I'm trying to see the bigger side. I'm chasing for the light because I've been in my side. But shit, it ain't never been no fear inside. I couldn't have survived this far, man. That shit'll get you penalized. In this game of life we play, you waste another day. If you afraid to grow, progression stunted by your pain. I say you stunting if you spend your time jumping between the day and everything that's past you. You can't even see what's past you. Appreciate the present, man. Don't let your gifts depreciate. You'll never know when you need them. My doubt famished because I never feed them. Alleviate my clouds just to help me see the way.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till. Clarity, opulence, what I see from my optics. Me and my nigga phonics rock like geologists, paleontologists, resurrecting the fossils. I'm an alchemist, savage like Randy. I'm steady crashing, just dead it. You never had it. How can a nigga live a dream that he ain't seen? Just trying to act out the scenes but don't really know what they mean. How we say we got purpose when we don't know what our worth is. Only know what they tell us on the surface, but I'm digging deeper. Got the switches that I'm hitting, smoke I don't release. Asking myself what you gonna do when they reminisce over you. I wonder if CL ever figured it out. Well, if he didn't, shit, I'm living it out. Figured I talk to whoever gonna hit me out. My head full, I shut my thoughts just as I clear them out. I swear it never stopped. Therapeutic, man, this music shit here free my soul. Trying to take it as far as it goes. Oh my God.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
From the 1-4 with Till. It was written in every letter, man. I'm trying to live forever, man. Say I'm trying to live forever, man. Wake your ass up one time, nigga. Till infinity. 1-4 till infinity. 201-4 till infinity. 201-4 till infinity.
Wow. Yeah. I used most of them, though. Didn't I?
Not all of them.
Yeah, but some of them didn't make sense to me.
Like what?
I don't know.
Save it. We got to talk. We got to use it. Do you still have it?
Meat shoes. You can probably leave this on there because he was done rapping.
Yeah, why don't you guys kick some bars to this beat?
Yo, I kicked some bars.
Yeah, what does that even mean, kick some bars? What a fucking asshole I am. Hey, kick some bars.
You know what you're talking about.
Hey, spit a verse.
Spit a verse.
Kick some bars.
I go to your house and hit reverse. Spit the nurse. She tried to deliver me. I'm not dead like chivalry. MCs, they pity the MC styles that I give them. Yo, I've had too much champagne out of a teacup to go to your house asking mom to sign a prenup. Why the C's always strut about moms and wives? I don't know. Why don't you get another life, survive? I gotta take a knife and dive with my scuba gear. Yo, I've been true for a year. You're just a lunatic, just a stupid kid. On the cock, yo, show me what you do for dick. I break it down, simple style, syllabic. motherfuckers wanna hear a pattern. It's kinda sad because I rhyme it with Saturn. I lost my train of thought, brought it back to something simple and reliable. I try to pull, you try the bull. It's not red, it doesn't have caffeine or alcohol. I could break it down without your jaw. Peel it off like the seven serpents, serpent in the rainbow. Let the brain blow, let the pain go. Stop ruminating. Yo, your rumors hating.
Did you say ruinating?
Ruminating. I heard that you were Satan.
Oh.
My bad. I kept going. Chuck, bring it in.
Bring it in. 2014 till infinity. That's the sideways eight. I used to figure skate. No, that's a lie, but I used to ice skate. Did the beat just jive and do a little drum quick? Dumb shit. Got it bouncing around, about to eat a drumstick. When I go to Popeyes, see the vendor at the counter and we lock eyes. I'm like, you know, it's about time. So give me that three-piece and large fries. Cause I'ma go home and I can sparkly. Can't play golf, don't hit the par five. Still gotta get my knee up. So you can speak up or you can read up. Believe Chuck, need what? Me ask questions, you follow along. Just get your mouth wide and swallow the song. And take the coleslaw. That's something that Cole saw. Say peace to Tamika Holdslaw. She played for the Mystics.
No, he did not. I feel like that's not the first Tamika Holdslaw reference.
It just rhymes so nice with coleslaw.
Yo, she played for the Mystics. Steve, I heard your jumper was broke. Caesar, come and fix it.
Oh boy.
The shot doctor, give you one last question. We rhyming over stories from the brass section. I read it off of the screen. My left hand was whack, I'm off of the team. I hit a jump shot, I eat a kumquat. Yo, people think I'm dope, I'm saying I'm really dumb. Not, it's a joke cause I'm kinda smart. I do it for the art, I come to your crib and don't fart. You're like Joan of Arc, the first person to do something. It doesn't matter if you're a man or lady, you're slim or a shady. Yo, you had a baby, to me that's kinda crazy. I think it's really dope, I think I might be the Pope. Cause I'm always blessing MCs with styles. They go home and try to break open their own styles, but they got the same styles as me. Yo, my styles is free, I'm like Cool Keith, my styles is P. I put them into your face, I come to your crib, put them into the base, into the trace of the outline. You wanna doubt mine, K chromosome, grab the mic, rock it, it's your time.
It's my time. You know my favorite shit was when Cole was doing a freestyle on episode 42, and in the middle of like the 13th bar, he just went into regular conversation. He's like, Gilbert Arenas. He's like, he almost shot Crittenden, who's like legitimately a criminal now, and is going to jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that in actual interactions with people.
Yo.
Just bust out a freestyle.
Hardcore doesn't mean playing with your nipples, soldier.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yo, shout outs to Anti Lily and Phonix. Mm-hmm. Phonix has some beats, man. He's on Spotify. You should check him out.
Okay.
I actually went dug up. Dude's from, I think he's from Oregon.
Cole Spotify.
Phonix got some beats for us.
Got some beats. Is this another beat of his?
What the fuck are we talking about now?
I was going to spit I was gonna spit 12 bars I wrote.
Go ahead.
Last
yeah,
night.
Please do.
All right, this is last night, so
you
I'll
like
be reading
beat?
It.
You want this beat or no?
Yeah, I'm not going to supernatural and make you change the beat. Yo, I won't rhyme to that. I won't rhyme to that.
Okay. Get out.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yo. My name is K Chromosome. I'm going Drake style, and I'm reading this off my phone. So I stay persistent, onward and outward to make a difference. I'm strong with the outburst, brave decision. No longer I couch surf today's existence, tomorrow's nostalgia. All in the way that we occupy the time and space. Knock the dust off, it's like I'm digging in the vinyl crate. Wide awake, time of day, child's play. Humans try to snake, only knowing that the spinal break, that's what you're left with. So when you need your friends to carry you like Byron Leftwich, that's when I step in.
Whoa.
Consider it more of a suggestion if you answer this in the form of a question.
Woo.
Was that dope?
I always love hearing Chuck spit a written rhyme, man. And freestyle, but particularly the written.
Thank
Can
you.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Byron Leftwich that he needed to be carried by his friends?
Wow. Really?
I don't know. What happened?
As soon as Chuck said it, the visual popped in my head. When he was in college, played at Marshall.
Oh, he got drunk. He got
No.
Oh, all right.
He got fucking injured.
Oh, my
and
bad.
And then in the game-winning drive, He couldn't walk down the field.
Okay.
His lineman would pick him up, carry him to the line of scrimmage. He'd make like a crazy throw and then like either collapse or like his knee would buckle.
Yeah.
They'd do it again.
Damn.
It was unbelievable.
Damn, how come the fuck? I never seen that game.
You're too busy looking at the Redskins schedule thinking they're gonna go 16-0.
I was thinking
14-2.
I was thinking 8-1 into the bye week.
Oh my god. The one thing I will say about Redskins fans.
Worldwide, we known for that.
Hopeless optimism. Never heard a Redskin fan going into the season predict a sub 500 record.
You know, it's so funny too because I feel like that explains Redskins. I am a Redskins fan. I'm hopeless.
Yeah.
But I'm yet optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm not 8-1 optimistic. I'm 1-3 optimistic. Are you sending an email? Did you hear?
No, I'm looking at the schedule. Houston, okay. Win. Jacksonville, win. Philly, win.
Where are you getting that?
Giants, win.
Wow.
Seattle, loss. Arizona, win.
Chuck
Tennessee, win.
Chuck is
Dallas,
asleep.
Win. Minnesota, win.
Super Bowl, win. Next year, first week, win. Next 20 years, win, win. What are you talking about?
Court case about changing the name, win.
I hate, this is the thing that I really dislike too about being a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
And what makes me, like, I'll talk to a Giants fan. Like, before last year, Chuck was like, yeah, it's not going to be their year, you know? He wasn't getting outlandish with it.
Yeah.
I talked to Redskins fans last year, they're like 11-5. Then that would be a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dog, you are a complete boob if you look at that schedule. First place schedule and see more than 5 wins. You're insane.
Yeah.
And they finish with 3. Whereas I feel like when I talk to the fans of other teams, they're not. Raiders fans are just as ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you have to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you spend money or put your heart and soul into this product?
Exactly.
It just it bitch slaps you repeatedly.
You have to go in with blinders, man.
Well, and that's the thing. They don't have a season like I did with the Wizards this year. I'm proud of them. I spent a lot of time and energy watching them, but they've rewarded me.
I feel like they've already exceeded expectations. Do you want to talk about like just a franchise riddled in being below mediocre? They said the Wizards have won game one of a 7-game playoff series for the first time since 1979. I was like, Jesus Christ. They've never even gone up 1-0.
You want to get crazy with stats?
No, that's crazy.
You want to get crazy with stats?
You can't argue with stats.
You can't argue with stats. Of the top three coaches, or should I say bottom three coaches, that have, I think it's like 300 wins, but the lowest win percentage. Think about that. You have to be in the league a long time to get 300 wins. But of the people that have done that, the lowest winning percentage, of those three, two of them have coached the Bullets or the Wizards.
Wow.
Randy Whitman and Wes Unseld.
Wow.
And it's kind of shit. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Even the Clippers don't have that, you know.
I wonder who the third coach is.
I didn't even recognize his name. Unseld, you're going to know just because he's like a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
20 years from now, if I was a Bucks fan, I wouldn't know who Whitman was.
Yeah.
But it's that's what I'm saying. Like, and it's certain things, like certain artists. For whatever reason, you just stick with them. You really hope for the best, and then they reward you with something.
Right.
So, that's the hope.
So you're saying he's the red man of NBA coaches.
Okay, fair enough. Well, who's a dude that got a lot better as his career went on?
Rapper?
Like Ghostface.
Like a rapper.
Yeah. I feel like Ghostface, like he came out as like, yo, you got talent, but like who he is now versus who he was on day one, light years.
Huh.
You know?
You know, Black Thought was never bad, but I swear he's like he's as sharp lyrically as he's ever been right now.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm the Randy Whitman of rap. You don't want to throw that around.
No.
People would be like, what? Although I will shout out myself on the Wizards freestyle, the rhyme of Randy Whitman at the Candy Kitchen.
Candy Kitchen.
Getting some saltwater crabby from my ride home.
Sometimes I watch the dude, like, he treats timeouts.
You think he's a bad coach?
Here's the thing.
You don't think he's a good coach?
I've seen interviews with him where, and again, this sort of speaks to what we're talking about with Peter in terms of like disliking positions that people play.
Sure.
I saw him in a post-game conference one time, and they were like, yeah, like, why didn't you guys have the effort tonight? And he jokingly was like, yeah, if you guys know something, tell me. I'm like, that's what you get paid to do. You get paid to know what buttons to push on these guys. But this is the thing.
Yeah.
The last two playoff wins, they've played like vets, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with the guys they have on the team, but there's been some subtle things that he's done, plays that he's called, defensive alignments that he's had. Like, I might have slept on you. Okay. I might have not given you the credit you deserve.
He's taking it seriously.
Right. Yeah. But why? My question is, why isn't that effort there every night? Whether or not they can do it's not the point. It's whether or not they have the effort.
I think just like teams go on scoring spurts, you know?
Okay.
Scoring runs during a game.
Yeah.
You have runs as a whole, as a team, with right. chemistry. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep, I agree with that.
But that, like, I look at who they're playing. Chicago, that team's dog shit. They're lucky if they can crack 95 points
but
in the playoff
a
game.
Coach,
they won 48 games.
Yeah,
you know?
A good coach.
I feel like a coach takes you a long way.
Yeah.
You
know? I will say, reality check as a Wizards fan was that when they flashed over to the bench of the Bulls and you see Derrick Rose sitting there in a suit, and I'm like, man, yo, we're clawing out like a 3-point win in overtime. Like, if this guy's playing, we're not winning this series. Like, a healthy Derrick Rose, that team is such a level above. It's like we were talking, you know, who they have now, unless Augustine's going to go for 40 points. Like, they can't hang scoring-wise with my Wiz kids.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what makes you think in terms of whether or not coaches are paying attention. Like, every time I see Kendrick Perkins starting for Oklahoma City, I'm like, what is their coach doing? That's been happening for 3 years. I think Augustine, he played every minute of the third quarter, and he had 19 points. If they space his time out, if they give him starters minutes, he plays 38 minutes out of a 48-minute game, but it's not all at once like it was in that game.
Yeah.
He could give them 40. They had no answer. He just got tired.
Yeah.
Now, does Thibodeau, does he play his cards right and put that dude in as opposed to fucking Kirk Heinrich? Like, are you kidding me with that dude?
Kirk Heinrich was on some shit,
right?
Wasn't he?
Right. And I mean, like, I respect that dude's career, but, like, he's been over the hill for at least 2 years now,
yeah.
And he was never that dope to begin with.
He has some dirty moves there.
Did you see, there's a great article by a Wizards fan that's on Grantland today. So today is, what, April 24th? So go back and check the April 24th Wizards article. Scroll down to the very bottom, and there's like a action shot of John Wall after the game ice grilling Kurt Heinrich, and then the caption just says, "You know what, Kirk? Fuck your dreams."
Wow. Wow. That's tough. You know what's crazy? I didn't even remember this until I was watching the game. Heinrich was kind of Wall's mentor for a little bit with the Wizards.
Yes.
I had completely forgotten he was even on the Wizards.
Yeah.
You know? I forgot I was on this show.
What's
your name? Chrome Bills?
K-Chrome.
K-Chrome Bills.
All right, this is how you check. If you're trying to figure out if Cole has a concussion or not, right? Let's say he gets his bell rung. You pick him up and you're like, where can you find the Chrome Bills podcast? And if he immediately goes,
SoundCloud.
It's SoundCloud, you know we're good.
I'm really happy you just did
but
that.
But if he's like, 888-612-DEAL.
Right.
Then we have a problem.
The phone number, I think we can all agree that the phone number is gone, right?
It's gone. It was A.
It had a good run, but I think it's out.
I feel like it'll become an inside joke among the three of us. And then, like, by the time we're on episode 400, people will be like, is that really a number? Like, it was.
Yeah,
where the fuck were you?
It was a number.
You know what's going to go on my tombstone?
You can find
Chrome Bills on SoundCloud and iTunes. By the time I'm dead, people will be like, what's iTunes?
By the way, the record, the phone number is still active. 612-888-DIFF.
Is it, though? Is it? I mean, that's a classic.
It's
if
not
a tree,
it's not
if a phone's active in the forest, does anyone call it? Not necessarily. Mm. You know.
I mean, I think the problem is I can't. I don't even call my parents. Like, I text my mom. Like, I'm gonna.
Right.
Like, I'm supposed to call some podcast I listen to. Yeah, right.
That's true. That's a good call.
You know what's so? You know what we need
that's
to
Ill.
Do?
That's Ill.
That
yeah.
being the case,
yeah.
we need to set up ChromeBills@gmail.com.
We already have it.
Oh, do we really?
Yeah.
Why haven't we mentioned that?
Hit us up
oh,
on.
My bad.
Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, we have a Chrome Bills email.
All right.
All right, my
Instagram.
Bad. We're 43 episodes in. Fuck it. Send us music if you want to hear it, if your music played.
More champagne, Mr. Forte.
Yo,
by the way, that's about Chuck, the only way to get a response is now everyone that has put out rap music is going to send you an email.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it. They can send us shit.
Yo, here, I'll say this, man. And let me just say this.
Yeah. As,
like, I remember when Chuck and I would go to Scribble Jam
Scribble
and people
Jam.
Would hand out CDs. Yeah. Chuck and I were people handing out CDs, and we had dope shit.
Yeah.
If you send us something, I will take the time to listen to it. But if, like, 10 seconds in, I'm like, this is some bullshit, I reserve the right to call you out or just not listen to it.
True.
You know what I mean?
I say you got to give one piece of constructive criticism. That's it.
The other okay, fair enough. The other thing is that could be a way that we could break an artist.
Oh, like... like that, Kendrick.
I'm gonna create a fucking print ad. Do you want to be the next Kendrick Lamar? Send your rap song to Chrome Bills.
Hey Chuck, do you think it's premature to play the draft version of Mahala for everybody or no?
No, play it.
Just because I'm drunk, so fuck.
Play it. I like it. I like what you did with the beat. This is it's a very old recording for me now. Probably going on 18 months.
It's old. It's old. It's an old beat for me too.
Yeah. This track is called Mahala.
Are we wrapping this one
up? Yeah, wrapping it up. I gotta go upstairs.
What do you got, a baby or something?
Episode 43.
Champagne teacups.
Is that Elroy Jetson that just landed? I just want to give a shout out to the people that you know, we talked about breaking Kendrick Lamar, but whatever radio DJ was involved with breaking Young Thug.
Twitter.
Young Thug.
Shout out for breaking Young Thug and bringing Stoner to
I
the
feel
world.
Like maybe we should listen to that after Mahala so you guys can
please give me at least 10 seconds of it.
Okay.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Okay. Peace.
Hey, for the fans out there, thanks for the support.
We love you guys.
Bye. Is you too?
Yeah.
Shit's got some kicking bass now.
It starts out as a trip that I gotta make across town. I decided this time I'ma take the long route. Dark clouds drifting south, I lost ground. Flipping through some new beats and find they all pound. I hit you with a freestyle straight from the driver's side. Time to rhyme, feeling old school like drinking Five Alive. Side to side, hoping I won't have to flex the anti-locks. Unplanned tandem, random stops by the camera cops. You're throwing that can't blow. I sip the Alizé, I'm floating through the Highland Tunnel swerving. I used to scream that line even though I call suburban. Maryland my home back then, it was the image of it. And mine was different but similar, or really was it? We drive around wind, rain, sleet or snow to cover up the fact we had no place to go. And it was throwdown mode, discretion was thrown to separate alone, discredited on every road. From every road to Crenshaw, T-Dot to H-Town, we rocked the bass loud. Stroll through the next route, out of loop traffic got me hitting up the side streets. So I checked out, the music loudly plays on since day one. Stop the slumber, I know